Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us to use this time in order to receive what it is that's in your word. And take it home, Lord, and Lord God, live by it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This morning we have an opportunity, first Sunday in Advent. If you notice, the gospel reading was about Jesus and the triumphant entry on the last Sunday before his crucifixion. So, looking at that, I said, okay, so if we're really going to study an Advent theme, it's interesting that the church year starts out by studying the last week of Jesus' life. So I thought we'd study something else. Don't want to skip right to the end. We need to go back to the very, very beginning. And so I want to take you back into this time of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, and the whole purpose, the whole reason, if we're really going to talk about Jesus entering Jerusalem, the question I'm going to ask you a lot today is why? Why? I love that question. Why? It's the second most asked question in my office other than what does this mean? All right? So we're going to ask that question. We're going to kind of take a look at things, and we look at sin coming into this world through Adam and Eve. And there is the judgment where Jesus says, I will send someone of your offspring to repair this damage. To repair this damage. And interesting enough is the question, why? Why, Lord? Why do you have to send somebody? And so I began to just ask that question, and even more questions come up because of that. But if you take a look at Genesis chapter 32, or 3, verse 21, look at this here. If you would, read this with me. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. So before they leave the garden, they are clothed with clothes. Of course, all they have is fruit of looms right about at this point. So God comes and makes them clothes of animal skins. Question, what animal was it? You guys ever asked that question? I mean, it was Lord, was it the unicorn? I mean, Is that where it disappeared? And so you really ask those a lot of questions, and the problem is you don't know. We don't know. We simply don't know. But what we do know is that from Scripture, this is the very first time in which there's a shedding of blood. Up until that time, it doesn't matter what kind of animal it was, they did not eat each other. Before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no death on this planet. After Adam and Eve sinned, then you get animals becoming carnivores, eating other animals. And so this is the first time in recorded history in which you will see that there's a shedding of blood. And so that is significant in the story of why. And so I've got a clip here. I've really asked this question, and I was hoping that some writers could fill in for me. But there's something very interesting. We've gone over the Chronicles of Narnia, and there's a clip in there where he starts to get at the core of what's going on in Genesis 3.
Then you'll remember well that every traitor belongs to me. His blood is my property.
Try and take him then.
Do you really think that mere force will deny me my right? Little king. Aslan knows that unless I have blood as the law demands, all of Narnia will be overturned and perish in fire and water.
And so what the author here points out is that unless there's a shedding of blood, everything in creation will be overturned. It doesn't necessarily go too deep on that, but it says, without the shedding of blood, then all of a sudden, we're toast. There is no more. And so what we see here is things that belong to sin belong to Satan, because he is the one who is the author of sin. And so when we take a look at that's huge. That's huge, because there is two worlds. Either the world is for God or for sin. And so that is a question that I always ask myself, why? Lord, why didn't you? This is a main struggle I have as a pastor, because I really overthink things way too much. I cannot watch any show without overthinking things and overanalyzing. And so I ask myself, Lord, why didn't you snap your fingers right then and there with Adam and Eve right there before you, and snapping your fingers, take away sin, turn back time? Why could you just take out sin right there? And then there's going to be no more pain. And would that be the end of my questions? Adam and Eve sinned once. They were perfect. Why wouldn't they do it again? And so I still ask myself, Lord, why couldn't it have been you? Why did it need the shedding of blood? And so I struggle with that. I struggle with that. And the writer of Hebrews, interesting enough, he makes it very black and white. He makes it black and white. Let's read this together. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I begin to ask myself, why? But at the same time, like what the movie says, it is written. And I said, why? And then what I end up doing is I end up putting myself in Eve's place, saying, did the Lord really say? Can I really believe what is written? Or what is written is enough for me to understand. And so what I have to come to the conclusion is, if the Lord says that there is shedding of blood that needs to happen, then it needs to happen. I just need to trust in that. Even though I have questions, that's enough for the Lord to explain that there is some shedding of blood that needs to happen. And so Adam and Eve were looking forward into their offspring. One of them would become the Messiah, and he would shed his blood for the entire world. And so I struggle with that. I struggle with that because, Lord, why did you have to come down? Because you are the only one who is perfect. You are the only one who could take upon the sin of the world on your shoulders and take that to the cross. And very interesting that they capture that in the movie.
She has renounced her claim on the son of Adam's blood.
How do I know your promise will be kept?
If you notice, there is the lion who represents Christ in here. And if you notice his facial expressions in this movie, at this very point, he is very somber because he has just made the promise that he will take the place of the son of Adam. And so very symbolically, the way in which we read is that Christ took our place, because we were the traitors. We were the ones who sin. And yet the king, the great lion, and the one who has done nothing wrong, he would take our place. And he's the one who would promise, the promise from generation to generation to generation, I will send my deliverer to you. And we keep reminding the people, it's still coming. It's still coming. I haven't forgotten. And so we read in Hebrews again. Let's read this together. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. So we see here that it is Christ who took upon our sin, took it to the cross, and by his blood, by the shedding of his blood, he is the one who atoned for our sins. Why, Lord? Because it was the only way. If Jesus says that, then that's true. If the only way for me to enter into God's presence again, to see him how he is, if the only way is that Jesus Christ would have to come as a little baby, as that cute baby in that manger. And what we're looking back, that first Christmas morn, he came for a purpose, and that purpose was to give his life, to be able to bleed and die for you and for me, to give his life for the shedding of blood for our sake. That is amazing news. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we are getting ready, Lord, we ask ourselves, why? Why, Lord? Because you are coming back someday, and you are coming with all the heavenly hosts to redeem what is yours once and for all. Lord God, as we look forward to that day, Lord, we remember the first time you came as a baby to take our place, to shed your blood, because our life was worth it, that you would give your life as a ransom for us. Help us, Lord, to always remember that you value us so much that you came to die for our sins. In your son's name we pray. Amen.